Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report podcast. Everyone has been hearing in the news about the terrible fires in Maui. They started on August 8th, which wasn't very long ago, and there's been terrible devastation. And today my guest is Todd Lampfear, who is an eyewitness who's been there, and I invited him on my podcast to explain what's happening, to show some pictures, and also we want to give you an opportunity to participate because we all need to chip in to help solve this terrible, terrible humanitarian crisis that's happened. So first of all, I'll welcome you, Todd. People wouldn't necessarily know that we've been friends for a number of years. We lived in the same area. In fact, Yes. We've even golfed a few times.
Yes, sir.
I'm familiar with the ministry at CityServe, where you serve. And, you know, I want people to find out more about CityServe, but I've done podcasts before. We've written articles. We've helped and cooperated in so many ways. And I think it's important when these things happen that the Christian community, sometimes we call it the body of Christ, bands together. And CityServe, I mean, your very name implies that. So first of all, why don't we go over what you saw? Because you told me before we went on the air that you were there last week for 7 days. You're going back on Monday. So bring us up to date and tell us what's happened.
Stephen, thank you so much for having us on your podcast and being able to share the story from the mouths of the wonderful people of Lahaina and the Maui region. I will tell you, we've done a lot of disasters. Of course, living in Florida, we have our share of disasters. We know what hurricanes are like. But I will tell you that there is just something ominous and unique about fire and how it just ravaged through in particular the section of Maui called Lahaina. And it wreaked havoc for 5.7 miles, one of four fires that started on the 8th.
You know, I'm not sure how those fires started. I guess they're investigating it. We probably won't know. But regardless of how it started, and people were speculating that it was space debris that fell from the sky. I heard someone say it was global warming. You know, that's not really why we're here. But I mean, human lives have been affected. Many lives have been lost. Some of these people's lives will never be the same in terms of just trying to rebuild. I've been to Maui only once. I was on a very nice cruise and went from island to island. And I just remember it as being a beautiful place with very nice people. And I have no recollection of what it was like before. And the pictures I've seen are just tremendous. In fact, why don't we show some of these pictures and you could tell us? I mean, look at that devastation. What is that? Somebody's washing machine or dryer?
Yeah, that was a, looks like it was a washing machine. That these people literally had minutes, Steve, to get out of their homes. The warning system they did not use, and so literally it was neighbors just knocking on neighbors' door saying, "We got to get out of here now." And they say, you know, it was, you know, what we'd call probably the perfect setting for a disaster. You did have some dry. Dryness there. It was parched, but you had 70-mile-an-hour winds. And when that first spark hit, it ignited quickly. And you see here, even on the screen, the cars, people left their cars. They literally had just moments to get what they could. It was so dark when you hear the stories from survivors.
So how did people get away if they left their cars? And also it's an island. I mean, you can only get off the island by a boat or probably airplane, but people weren't evacuated that way. And look at those power lines. They probably contributed to it, didn't they?
Well, and you know, that's, you know, if you listen to the word on the street, you know, they're pointing fingers and, but a lot seems to be coming back to a down power lines because of the 70 mile an hour winds that had hit the island. And
so we would know 70 mile an hour winds. In fact, when they get to 75, they call it a hurricane. Anything below that, they have terms like tropical storm. So that is bad. That is bad. And
Yeah, so you see the line, the power lines, they're down everywhere in Lahaina. And you know what ended up happening, Steve, was every because it was moving so fast, like say up to a mile a minute at its peak, everyone trying to get out of this one area, they're you know the police were not there, daylight turned to
A
darkness.
mile a minute, isn't that 60 miles an hour? Isn't that how fast you travel in a car? Oh, look at that. A fire hydrant with a hose attached.
With a hose attached, which would indicate that they were staging, and then our first responders had to leave because of the severity of the flames, and it literally torched a whole section. Let's say 5.7 miles were just absolutely devastated, and so.
So in other words, 5.7 square miles, more or less, look like what we're seeing.
That's correct.
And
Now, in the midst of it, you may have a house or two that just didn't get touched. You know what I mean? It was fire's the most indiscriminate thing that I've seen. But so many it looks very apocalyptic. It looks like a war zone in there. And people are now at the point where they're able to go back in, and not that there's anything salvageable, but just to get back to their piece of property.
wow. So where are all these people staying? Are they in tent cities, or are they gone to the other islands?
So there are a couple of different places. One, they did go, some did go to family members that are on this island and on other islands. Initially, you see there, we're packing up resources to send into Lahaina last week. That church right there is King's Cathedral in Maui.
That
With
looks like you in the blue shirt, right?
it is, yeah, it's a Dr. Jim Morocco, and they really became the tip of the spear for us in helping to resource and to put a game plan together for some recovery. But
Wow.
they were that church right there, King's Cathedral, was housing up to 400 people at a time. War Memorial Auditorium was doing the same. They moved them out right now, and had put most of the people, if they're not living with family or extended family, they put them up in hotels. But that will be a that's a short-term solution to a long-term problem.
Now, CityServe helps in lots of ways, helped during COVID. That's where I first got to know you, is when you guys were helping during COVID with, I think it was called Farmers to Families.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of relief organizations that are helping out. The government helps out. But what are you guys doing specifically with the idea that people who are watching and listening, like me, can also help you? Now that looks like a flood. What is that?
It probably is a flood. I mean, they literally right by the water, and a lot of people jumped into the water. That was their only form of escape, actually, was to jump into the ocean. So,
Wow.
it's like I say, these are, some pictures and shots we took there, just very, very, ominous and somber.
It really is.
But what we did for CityServe, CityServe really exists to work side by side, hand in hand, to be the uplifter of the arms of the local church. We're not necessarily a disaster relief organization. We don't. We just we're in the church business, and everything that we do through a local church. So we won't come in apart from the local church. And what we found, Steve, for the first few weeks since August 8th, is that it's the church that has really risen to the occasion. It's the church that takes supplies and resources into the pockets in Lahaina that that weren't touched or weren't burned as severely as you saw in the pictures. It's the church, not, you know, again, we're grateful for FEMA, for Red Cross, whatever. But I can tell you that it's the church that doesn't ask people to come to them. It's the church that takes the resources to the people. And we've been seeing that in just an amazing display of being the hands and feet of Jesus on the island.
Well, other organizations get volunteers too, but a lot of the people are actually paid. But someone said that the church is the largest volunteer organization on earth. You know, if you count all the churches and the people who go to the churches, and church people want to help. Often they don't know how, or they don't have warehouses or whatever. And so you're able to come in and bring that. I remember during COVID when everything was shut down, I stumbled on it before, Farmers to Families. I think, if I remember correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that there were many farmers who were having to plow under crops because the cruise ships that usually took their food weren't sailing. Restaurants were closed, et cetera. Grocery stores were open, but they were going to have to plow it under. And the government, under President Trump, said, well, give us that material and we'll disperse it. And they reached out to Dave Donaldson and other people with your organization. And I know that my church got a lot of, there was a warehouse here, took a lot of it, and people would come and the cars would line up for a long, long way. I don't know that it was a mile, but it seemed a mile. And they did offer to pray with people, and some of the people did come to church, but it was a humanitarian effort rather than an evangelistic effort. So that's how I first got to know CityServe. And so you're doing some version of that now where you get the materials in. In fact, how did you get them in very fast? Because that's a long way from the mainland out there to Maui. And then to get them to these churches, and just kind of walk me through this so that we can kind of see what was happening.
Sure. So you're right. The ability to get product in to the island has been a bit slow and tedious, even just getting the air in. Our friends at the UPS Foundation, they helped us with our first million meals that we shipped over into Ukraine. They've stepped up again, and they're sending our a quarter of a million meals to the island as we speak. So we bought a lot of stuff on just on the economy, which obviously helps the people there in getting them what they need, whether it's water, whether it's shelving, whatever it was. And it works out well when there's you get a wave, you know, disasters, you have that immediate response. And that's where every organization tends to go in. But sadly, Steve, when a disaster is out of the news cycle, that's when a lot of the disaster relief organizations leave in, and then people are stuck on that second wave or that intermediate phase. And then of course you have the long-term phase of rebuilding. And this is why we stay with the local church. See, this is why we do everything through the local church, because the local church was there before this disaster. They were there right in the middle of the crisis, and they're going to be there long after everyone else has left. And so that's the beauty of why we partner with the local church and resource them. And to your point, Farmers to Families, over 17 million boxes of food were delivered to the local church and through the local church to meet people living in what we call that last mile of need, where they can't get to the food, but the food through the church is going to get to them.
So the way that you're helping is mainly for food for people who are now homeless, who have no way to prepare the food. They don't even have anywhere to live. And so you're meeting that need.
Yep.
And then who's paying for all this? Because the churches are providing the volunteers. They have their own problems. Their own members, you know, have been affected by it as well. So, and you can't raise money ahead and say, we're raising money now for a fire that's going to happen in Maui, several months from now. So how does that logistics work? Or do you raise the money after the fact? And I want to know how people can get involved to do our part to help you guys.
Sure. Well, it is one of those things where immediate cash is needed. Infusion of product is needed immediately. And CityServe, along with other great organizations, Mercy Chefs and No Child Hungry, Paula White Ministries chipped in. There's just a ton of organizations out there. Convoy of Hope, all of them are doing their part. Samaritan's Purse come in. World Vision was there yesterday and today. So there's a lot of good organizations, but this is the beauty, what I think of the body of Christ. When we talk about this, Steve, is that, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one member rejoices, all rejoice with it. This is where the body of Christ shines, and being part of a faith community is so important because it allows people in Orlando, Florida, or Topeka, Kansas, or Bakersfield, California, to be able to come together through an organization like CityServe and provide resources, which they've done, that allows us to immediately dispatch 250,000 prepackaged meals to head on out. Our friends at Jockey have collaborated with us. They're sending, as of today, two tractor trailer loads of brand new Jockey apparel is headed to Maui, through CityServe. And that's
Because people would have escaped with only what they were wearing. Is that
when I
right?
say, yeah, when I say they escape with just what they could carry, they literally had minutes. They didn't have hours. This is the difference between like a hurricane. We know when a hurricane's coming here in Florida. We're tracking it in the Gulf and we're seeing the pattern. So we're preparing. We're going out. We're buying our water. We're getting gasoline for our generators. We do that. But these people literally had no time. And they just got out with what they were wearing on their backs. And so all of that is going to be incredibly needed. I'll tell you, Steve, I think the thing that when you look at long term, and this is an exciting part of what CityServe is doing in our partnership with the National Faith Advisory Board and American Association of Christian Counselors, is trauma counseling is going to be so needed. When you talk to police officers who tell you what they've seen on the streets, and when you go into the burn zone, people who have lost everything, people who are getting taken advantage of, people who had lost someone. I met a husband and a wife right at the burn zone, and they were going back into their house for the first time, Steve. And I asked them how they were doing. And they said, "Well, our house burned down, but we can't find my mom or my sister."
Oh
And
no.
that had been like 8 days at that point. So, it's, but those stories are over and over again. So trauma counseling is so important. So we have hooked up with American Association of Christian Counselors, Dr. Tim Clinton, and we have put a plan together for some mental health coaching that we can do through Zoom and some other ways where people can get help. They can talk to a Christian counselor, they can be prayed with, and they can get the mental and emotional support that they need.
And that is so important because, we just saw pictures. You can see the need, but these other inner wounds and the loss of losing your mother and your sister, they're undoubtedly dead, but they can't even find them. They can't verify it. I mean, how do you deal with that kind of pain? But how could people, before we end the program, we want to pray, and I want you to tell people what they can do to help, and maybe some churches want to take up an offering and help or something like that. But these meals, I mean, I don't know how much these meals cost, $5 or $10 each, probably. I mean, that's usually what food costs, and they're prepared in some kind of how what are they boxed or
Yeah,
they're pre-prepared.
they are. And these were put together. If you remember, Steve, when we did the million meals in one day for Ukraine. It's those type of meals. It's apples, apple cinnamon oatmeal, and it's rice and veggies, things, you know, just things that they can just literally put in a boiling pot of water. You don't need electricity. You don't need a stove. And they can eat it. It's there for them. Pasta and tomato sauce, things like that, that they can get some immediate food. And I
think so they could boil water even over some kind of little campfire or something.
They can. And, yeah. You know, and obviously there's a huge homeless population on the island as well. San Francisco has been sending homeless to the island for quite some time. And so, you know, you've got people who, you know, have lost their homes because of fire. You have others who have no home because of their life situation. And the church is there really to minister and to meet those needs. And I would say it is important as to who they put their money with, because, you know, we know in disasters, it brings out the best in people, but it also brings out the worst in people as well. And people taking advantage of other people's hurts in their time of need. But I can tell you, CityServe 100% goes right to the right to the need in Maui, and goes right through a local church. And we're working with the Calvary Chapels as well on the island, as well as the King's Cathedral, and they have 49 churches on the island. So, you know, it's or on the islands of Hawaii. So it's important. I'd love for them to go to cityserve.us. They can click on the Maui Relief in, again, 100% of that, which is different than a lot of other, you know, even secular organizations. I won't name any of them, but I you know, 100% doesn't go there. That's probably a good way to put it, right?
Very high overheads. And,
yeah,
you know, I admire what you're doing. You're having to raise the money for the upkeep other ways. So when you're able to make an appeal like this, 100% of the money will go. And you're right. There are a lot of organizations that show pictures and everything else. And when you dig down, in fact, there have been investigations, sometimes investigative journalism, sometimes the government, that shows that there's a lot of shadiness. But I know a lot of the leaders of CityServe. I've seen it with my own eyes. We've supported with several disasters in the past, including the war in the Ukraine and some other things. So I'm personally being involved. Charisma Media is involved. We're going to do what we can to let people know what's going on and how they can help. But if everyone who's watching this podcast gave something, it would turn into a big number. And people can continue to give, even though this will be on YouTube for a long, long time. And the immediate disaster will be over. There's a whole rebuilding. And, of course, CityServe is the kind of organization that's going to be responding to needs. If it's not for the fires, it's at the earthquake and hurricane in Southern California or something else. So we've got a little less than 5 minutes. We want to pray. You've told us how to go to the website. In fact, go to the website. Do your own due diligence. Investigate. Look at the pictures. Determine that these people are worthy of supporting. You know, everybody's got a critic or two, even if it's people that are jealous of the good job you're doing. But basically, you're not going to find anyone bad-mouthing this organization. As far as I know, you're above reproach in every way, and I couldn't give a stronger personal endorsement than what I know about CityServe, and of course, that's why I invited you to be on the program. So how are we going to land this plane? I want to give you the last word. I want to pray. In fact, why don't we pray now so that we're not going against the clock? So Heavenly Father, we pause to pray because we have the privilege of coming boldly before your throne of grace to thank you, Lord, for CityServe and the work they're doing, and also to pray for the people whose lives, most of these people we will never, never know, but their lives have been horribly turned upside down. Lives have been lost. We just heard about a mother and a sister who are lost. Lord, we just pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray for miracles where miracles happen. Help CityServe, Lord, as they navigate all the changes that happen and even all the people that are out there that don't have the best of motives, having to decide what the priorities are. Lord, I just pray that you help them and continue to help them. Lord, thank you for Todd. Give him traveling mercies going back out to Maui in just a couple of days. Help him as he provides needed leadership in so many ways. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I'll just encourage my viewers and listeners to donate as I am. We often will raise money through our own nonprofit called Christian Life Missions, but it's slower. There's a lot of work involved. We would rather connect you exactly with this organization. They're a good organization. We're not trying to build up our own relief organization. We try to work with others, and several of the organizations that he's talked to, we've worked with in the past, even going back to the tsunami that happened in the early 2000s, even back to 9/11. Mm-hmm. So this is consistent with what we've done. And Todd, I want to give you the last word.
Thank you, Steve, for having us on today. And so grateful. I'd ask you to do three things. One, which we just did, is to pray. Pray that that God would give incredible peace, that he would, that hope would just be the resounding attitude on the island. And it is, by the way. So to pray for them, to pray for the churches as they're really feeling the struggle and the strain to take care of people and to do legitimate Matthew 25 ministry and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The second is to give, whether it's the CityServe at cityserve.us or another organization that's doing work there that you may feel comfortable, but give. And then the third is respond. You know, I would just ask you if there's an opportunity down the road for you to be with, to help out with part of a rebuild, which is, you know, really what we're looking to do long term is to help them rebuild. And those three things, pray, give, respond. And to me, that's the complete package of being the heart of Jesus.
Well, thank you. And so very well said. We're wrapping this up. And I just remind you to share this with other people. If you haven't subscribed to the Strang Report on YouTube or Rumble or your favorite podcast network, do it and tune in again next time for another episode of the Strang Report. God bless you.
From 1975, Charisma has been at the forefront of reporting on revival, miracles, and the move of God in our world. Charisma Magazine is now going exclusively online to reach beyond the physical barriers of a print issue. Charisma Magazine Online is committed to bringing you the very best Spirit-led content to inspire your walk with God in this upside-down world. Go to mycharisma.com for exclusive content today.